And opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And today we are talking about some nostalgia stuff.
That's right.
And the end of things. Yeah. So that's what we're gonna be starting. We're gonna be starting with new things that are ending, and then we'll work our way into old things that we're nostalgic about.
That's right.
Sounds like a plan.
It does.
Yes. So the first thing we're gonna do is we're going to adhere to the rule of no spoiling Endgame of Avengers. But we're not going to not talk about it either, because we went and saw it. And let me just tell you, 11 years in the making.
Right.
I'd say it's worth it.
I think they did a pretty good job closing up the story.
Yeah.
Because, of course, Marvel isn't going anywhere. The MCU is...
You don't make $1.2 million in your first day and then decide, yeah, we're going to close up shop.
Right. I mean, I'm kind of surprised there wasn't a trailer for Spider-Man Homecoming before Endgame. I think that would have been funny.
Yeah.
So we know that there's other movies after, but this really brought this particular storyline to a satisfying ending, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And... Can I just say that I am super proud of humanity right now?
Yeah.
That the spoilers have been kept to a very low simmer.
People are not. Well, that's because people are not taking that. They are not gonna. They're not gonna settle for having it spoiled. Did you hear about what happened? What was it? Was it in Thailand or Japan or China?
No.
You hear about what happened?
No, it happened.
So a guy comes out of the theater and he starts talking about the movie and starts yelling out spoilers to people. The crowd immediately proceeded to beat the living tar out of him.
Oh, goodness.
and no one felt bad for him.
I like that everywhere that has anything to do with pop culture or theaters, movies or whatever, has signs that says Thanos demands silence.
Yes.
I mean, this sign is at movie theaters telling you not to talk about it in the lobby because people are waiting to go in to see it.
Yep.
We were at Hot Topic yesterday, and they have a little sign there that says, you know, customers and staff members may not have seen the movie yet. Please do not talk about it. And it also said Thanos demands silence, and then it had a little Thanos pop next to it. It was adorable.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I think people are being pretty good about it.
So I the things I'm going to say about it is, yes, it ends the story arc that is the original Marvel Studios phases well.
Right.
I feel concluded.
Mm-hmm.
I feel satisfied with it.
Yes.
I'd say it's a little bit of a slow burn at the beginning of the movie.
Well, it's 3 hours long.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But I'm saying it feels like you want to get to the point a little bit quicker than they did.
Mm-hmm.
Not terribly bad. Like, I'm not sitting there annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And Thanos is definitively my favorite movie villain.
Yeah.
Because he's not really... In my opinion, a villain.
He's not the villain from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles where he's doing all his bad stuff because he wants to be stupid rich.
Don't even get me started on that. So there's not much we can say without giving a lot away.
Right.
So we're just going to say that it is worth the hype.
Mm-hmm.
It is...
It's worth the runtime.
Yes.
The only spoiler, which isn't really a spoiler, is that there's no end credit scene.
Yeah,
so,
which
we were told before. So don't wait. However, I had to go to the bathroom very bad. So as soon as the credits started rolling, I was out of there. And then I came back in because everyone was still there. And it has nice credits.
Very nice credits. So there's a nice...
So if you can hold it, don't leave right away.
Yeah. When they go to the all black and white credits... You're done.
Yeah, but I mean, and there's no, it's not like a scene or
no. It's just credits.
It's very nicely done credits.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. That's exactly.
And I'm one of those people that usually I like to stay through credits. Like I like to read the credits. I like to see if I can pick out any interesting names. I like to give those people the credit. Huh? For the hard work they've done, because those people further down in the credits, they don't get the fame and the glory.
Well,
so I like to sit there and I like to read their names and say, good job.
So the one thing I'll say probably negatively is that Not really negative either. It's that, like I said, it's a satisfying ending. However, how they get there is very confusing, and it's something that you will, once you leave the theater, you're going to have to sit there and think about. It's mm-hmm. not just a, I just saw something, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very, okay, now I need to sit there and I need to contemplate how this all strings together.
But it's not nearly as bad of an experience as coming out of Us.
Oh, yeah.
that movie gets worse and worse every time.
Which we talked about last week.
We did, but every time we start talking about it or thinking about it, it gets a little worse.
So now the next thing we're going to talk about is this is for anyone who's watched Family Guy, this is our mod. This is our long mod theme song experience
mm-hmm.
where they have the mod theme song and it goes on forever and Peter's like, and then there's mod. And then there's Maude. And then finally go, and then there's Maude. And he's like, ah. He turns off the TV. He's like, ah, that was an ordeal.
This has been 5 years of our lives.
5 years.
5 long years.
Yes.
In a somewhat abusive relationship.
With what?
With Gotham.
Gotham is done.
Gotham is done.
We watched the series finale.
We've watched every single episode of that show.
We have.
It had some kind of mystical power over us. Because I couldn't stop.
I kept wanting it to be better than it was. Like it was my child, and I expected better from it, and it just kept disappointing.
It had such great potential.
Yeah.
It really did. Because it had a cast that was good.
Okay, so this I'm going to spoil for people, because I don't care.
Well, yeah.
And I don't think enough people care that if I spoil it either.
So, spoiler warning,
we're going to spoil Gotham's finale.
Before you get there,
okay,
the show had so much going for it. And I know we've talked about this before, but the casting was actually quite good. I like Ben McKenzie. The finale of Gotham made me start rewatching The OC, which totally holds up. I love that show.
You were watching it before the finale, admit it.
Yeah, but it was because of all the hype for the finale.
Okay.
Well, actually, it was partially because of the finale. It was also partially because of Shazam. Because Adam Brody, who was also in OC, was in that movie. I'm like, I want to watch the OC again, which is great. Holds up. I love it. But
so this is the team. So the OC is pretty much just a team up of Blue Shazam and Commissioner Gordon.
It absolutely is. And there's a couple of it's actually funny. There's a couple of references to Adam Brody's character being a superhero. Like he draws himself into a cartoon. Is oh, this is me if I had superpowers, and it's just great. Anyway,
I digress.
So Benton, he was good, and the guy who played the Riddler and Penguin, and these were all cast well.
Right, we've said this a million times.
But the writing is just terrible.
So how this gun goes is the last season was after Jerome, who is most likely the Joker.
He's Joker in everything but name.
Because they can't say the name for legal reasons.
Even when they clearly made him the Joker, he was clearly the Joker. And they're like, well, what do I call you? I don't know, Jay or James or John. I like Jay. They still couldn't say Joker.
Yeah, so they were about to say, and he was like, but they even paused in the Joe part of,
Joe.
Was it Joseph?
Yeah.
I don't know, call me James or Joseph or Jay, I don't know. And I'm like, okay. So anyway, at the end of the fourth season, he blows up all the bridges around Gotham to break them off from like the mainland, and it becomes no man's land where they're just kind of their own sovereign nation until they're reunified with the mainland.
Right. That would happen. But
the whole season five, abbreviated season five, was them living in this land that they were cut off from the world. And the Bane storyline was stupid. Everything about season five was not very good.
No.
And they end second to last episode ends, and it's just kind of normal. And then the last episode picks up, and it picks up 10 years later.
How did you know it was 10 years later?
Well, first of all, it had a thing at the bottom that says 10 years later, and Gordon grew a mustache,
which he immediately shaved.
Right.
I liked the mustache.
Right, and so nobody in Gotham aged in 10 years. So at the end of the second to last episode, Bruce Wayne leaves, and then in the last episode, it's been 10 years since he's been gone. And the reason we also know it's been 10 years is because everyone said 10 years every
multiple times.
About every 2 minutes.
Oh yeah, it was terrible. It's like the first season when they kept saying
this is Gotham. Yeah, it's been 10 years. I can't believe it's been a decade. I've been locked in here for 10 years. It's been 10 years and I've been locked in here. It's been a decade since Bruce Wayne's been back.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like the writers don't understand how to use Mad Libs and that's how they write their scripts.
They don't trust their audience to remember the title card from the beginning of the episode.
So the only person they changed was Selina.
Right, they recast
her to be 10 years older. But all the adults,
with a woman that I would buy.
Yeah, they look alike.
As her.
But everyone else who's been on the show, none of them aged 10 years at all.
Barbara has red hair now.
Okay.
And the baby aged.
Well, the baby doesn't count. The baby was a newborn in the second to last episode. And it says 10 years later. If it's still a baby 10 years later, we have a problem.
Sure.
Everyone else who's been on the show, they didn't age them. They didn't give them like any gray hair. They didn't. The only one that they kind of maybe a little bit did was they put weight on Penguin.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny though is that like when they first show Gordon, he has the mustache and it did make him look older. And then it immediately pans to Bullock and he looks.
The same.
Exactly the same. And then as soon as Gordon shaves his mustache, he looks exactly the same as he did in the episode before.
And in this world, Lee Tompkins and him are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Or not alive, still alive. Yeah, they're still alive. I meant they're still married.
Right.
Like, I didn't even realize that they were, I don't think they're ever married in the comics, so they're already taking the thing here. But anyway, they keep pointing out the fact that Batman's there. The Batman's there. They don't say Batman. It's somebody that's in the shadows, and you hear him. You see the pointy ears, like maybe once in the whole hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jerome breaks out, and it turns out he's Joker. And you see him for like the last 10 minutes at the end, and he's caught by Batman, which is just his batarang goes through his hand. And then it's a smoke thing. You don't see him. And then they light up the bat signal, which is just the
light. It doesn't have the bat yet. Yeah.
And it points up, and then he flies past, and they're like, what's that? And he's all, a friend. And then it pans up to what is clearly a digitized version of an older version of the kid who plays Bruce Wayne in the Batman costume. This is a very, it doesn't even look like a real person. Mm-hmm. Not even at all. It looks less believable than the Arkham Asylum games.
Yeah. But it's just, it's a pan front. So it's from their rooftop, which is what, on the first floor? Because the building he's standing on is way, way taller. And so it zooms in on him. And as soon as it gets to a headshot of him, then screen dark, end of show.
End of show. Done.
That's the only, like, you see him, you see shadows of him throughout the show, and there's a point where he's standing behind Selina, and she knows he's there, and
it was just,
why did you leave? I had to. And then she turns around, and he's gone. So they only show it at the very, very end. Much like Smallville only gave you the Superman logo right at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this is what we're leading up to. We're not going to show it. But that's not what this is about.
So annoying. So,
because they always said that that it was going to be David, the kid who has been playing Bruce the entire series, that it would be his voice, it would be him in the cowl. But obviously he can't play a 10-year older himself, so you could tell it was his mouth. But yeah, that was not a person's body.
Well,
at least
even,
not his.
Even his mouth was changed up to make him look more mature. Like,
right.
Everything about it felt digital.
Yeah.
It was just, it was just bad.
It was bad, and I'm glad it's over.
I'm glad I'm no longer chained to this.
Right.
This love-hate relationship is now done.
It is done. We did our penance. We watched our show. You know what I'm excited about now, though, is that now they finally have a TV series about my favorite Batman character.
They do.
Alfred.
Yes, that's coming to the DC, was that DC Plus or DC Universe or DC?
Whatever their streaming service is. But it's a whole series all about Alfred, and I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Because Alfred is amazing. I loved the Alfred trailer during
Endgame.
Yes.
And I immediately felt like the scene in Teen Titans Go to the Movies where they're all sitting in the movie theater and it's like a Batman trailer and it's like, Alfred. And you're like, oh, are you kidding me? Yeah, it totally felt like that.
And isn't it just called Pennyworth?
Yeah.
that the series gets.
Okay. So we've spent way more time on this than we needed to.
Sorry.
We said we're going to talk about stuff from when we were a kid.
Yes.
And TV shows from when we were kids. And that's what we're going to do. I'm not going to tell you what we're doing, but I will give you a hint with our music as we leave. So you are listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we will be right back.
Hey, dude.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with 2 full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we are going to be talking about shows that we're nostalgic for from back when we were a kid. This, of course, is the Doug theme song.
Yes.
But before we left, what did we play? We played the theme song to...
Hey, Dude.
Exactly. So, long train of thought to get us where we were at. We were watching on Amazon Prime, we are watching a Funny or Die show, which is these little 5-minute shows called Very Special Episode.
Oh, they're so funny.
And on one of the episodes we were watching, we saw one about Blossom, which had what is his name? But he's the quintessential boyfriend of the 90s.
He really is.
He was Ted on Hey Dude, who was Brad's boyfriend. He was Blossom's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. He was Sabrina's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And he was also Paul Rudd's character from Clueless in the TV show Clueless, who technically Cher's boyfriend later on.
Right, and he was in Beverly Hills 90210, where I'm sure he was someone's boyfriend.
Probably.
So his name is David Lasher.
Yes, and he is a quintessential 90s boyfriend.
He is.
So we were talking about this, and we said, well, do you remember him on Hey Dude? And you're like, yeah.
I loved Hey Dude.
And so we were like, oh, we both loved Hey Dude. And Hey Dude is a TV show that ran from 1989 to 1991 on the Nickelodeon Network. And it's about these teenagers who are working on a dude ranch.
In the summer.
And, you know, it's one of those ones where you go, is this going to hold up? And I said, you know, I'm pretty sure I have season one in my DVD collection in the garage. So I went and looked, and I come back, and I felt really bad because I'm like, I don't have season one. I have the entire series.
It was amazing.
So we put it in there, and we're like, hey, is it going to hold up? We played the pilot. And yes, it holds up.
It totally holds up.
For being a kid's show from the 1990s, it totally holds up.
And it's amazing. So, okay, to this day. So the show is 30 years old?
30 years old this year.
This show is 30 years old. I still want to call Christine Taylor Melody.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, to this day, she's Melody.
Besides David Lasher, who is he's a character actor in a lot of things. And even now, to this day, he still kind of is. You'll see him in things. The only one who's really went on to any fame from that show is Melody, the character Melody, played by Christine Taylor. And you probably know her best as Ben Stiller's wife in real life.
Ex-wife.
But she was in Dodgeball, and she was in a lot of his movies.
Mm-hmm. But
my favorite thing from her, and the thing that threw me, because Melody is so sweet in Hey Dude,
mm-hmm.
and then the next thing you see her about eight years later is in Wedding Singer.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably my favorite. That's probably my favorite thing she did post-Hey Dude.
Yeah, great movie. But nobody else in this show, except for the guy who owns the Dude Ranch, who is mm-hmm. played by David Brisbane, he's a character actor, too, so he's still doing stuff. But all the other teenagers in that show, this is literally the only thing they ever acted in.
Yeah.
It is their only credit.
So
show.
Buddy, Danny, and Brad, if you go on IMDb and look up their filmography, this is it.
This is it.
Before and after. Done.
Which is too bad, because Danny, who played he was a ranch hand, and I guess he was supposed to be
he's Native American.
Mm-hmm. He's Mexican, but he's played Native American.
Right.
And he was good.
Yeah.
I really liked him. He was natural, and It was great, and the show really did hold
up.
So I'm excited to keep watching the series over the next couple of weeks. Just when we get a minute, pop in a 20-minute episode
and relive our
childhood.
So yeah, when this came out, we were not seven, and it ended in 2 years, so you're the one that's always looking up IMDb, but I remembered all the trivia you told me last night, because it only has like three pieces. So one of them being that the reason why the show ended was because Nickelodeon Studios in Orlando, Florida opened, which was their big theme park and actual studio where they filmed all their shows.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that was filmed in Orlando, like all those shows, Clarissa Explains It All, and you remember at the end of it, filmed at Nickelodeon Studios, Orlando, Florida. And Hey Dude was not one of those because they were filmed on set in Tucson, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So they could not justify the cost of filming in Arizona when everything else was done in their own studios in Orlando, Florida. So they canceled the show. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
That's it.
What a terrible reason to cancel a show.
Right.
But yet, Gotham got five seasons. the other fun fact of note was that the set still stands.
It does.
It is on an actual dude ranch.
It's on a real dude ranch.
In Tucson, Arizona.
Mm-hmm. It's called the Tanque Verde Guest Ranch.
So,
and it looks amazing.
So free plug to them on our highly popular radio show/podcast. It's the what?
It is the Tanque Verde Guest Ranch.
There you go. So, which we fully intend to go visit. And when they go, oh, would you like to go horseback riding, or do you want to do any of these other dude ranchy type things? We're like, no, 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 no. You don't understand. you see me and the missus here. We're here to relive in our youth and follow in the footsteps where Brad and Ted fell in love.
That's right.
Where Danny,
gave wise advice.
Yes. And, where poor little Buddy couldn't skateboard because it's nothing but rocks and dirt. And so it got me on the subject of, hey, maybe we can stage a movie, 30 years later movie that nobody wants to see. But, we could, make it a gritty reboot to where, Brad and Ted actually got married, and then they have these kids, and they're just not happy in this marriage. And, Danny, who's Native American, owns a casino. And maybe Buddy has a boyfriend. We're just gonna throw these out there, and we're gonna give poor Melody the worst fate of all, and we're not gonna change much from her. We're just gonna have her marry Ben Stiller, because nice. She already kind of went there.
Nice.
So I think that's what we should do.
I'm all for it.
Although I also said because it's how much a night? It's $246 a night.
It's
their base package.
Because it's a full resort. It's a all inclusive, they really immerse you in the dude life.
So I said, for three of those actors who haven't done anything before after, we may just be able to invite them.
It's true.
And I say that with all due respect. I love it. If I could actually meet any of them, I'd be
I'm sure they have flourishing careers somewhere.
It's just
not in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm like I said, if I was to meet any of them, I'd be super happy. That's not a thing. But I'm like, hey, it feels like an obtainable dream.
It does. It does indeed.
And then we also, so that's where we are on that. So we rushed the pilot, and we're going to try to get through more episodes. I don't think we're going to give you a play-by-play like we normally do on some shows that are kind of still new and running. But
no.
But that's kind of where we're at. If you can catch Hey Dude, I recommend it.
And you know what? The DVD quality is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
It's not terrible for 30 years.
Not terrible at all.
And it fills up our screen. It's not, condensed or letterboxed. It looks good.
That's because of the player I have. It's kind of fancy. It upconverts.
Oh, well, it's very nice.
Yeah, very nice. And another one that we have is Doug.
Doug is so great.
That TV show is great. It's about a teenage boy, young teenage boy, he's maybe 12-year-old, going through school. And what was so great about the show is, one, it's very diverse,
mm-hmm.
and color of races of people is not a thing in the show, because all colors exist. And by that, I mean literally there's a blue kid and a purple kid and a green kid,
mm-hmm.
and they all – that nobody notices. There's no, this kid is, this is a race. No, there's literally a blue and purple kid.
Yeah.
And they have the characters that we relate to the most, which is his next-door neighbors. I love his next-door neighbor. I relate to him on a personal level. They are the Dinks,
mm-hmm.
and which is great. And people didn't get this until now. I even tell this to people now, and it blows their minds, that his neighbors were the Dinks, which stands for
dual income, no kids.
And that's the reason why he would – because Mr. Dink always had the most – expensive things. He would get electronic devices that he had no use for, and he'd have his garage full of tech gadgets and everything. I relate to him on a big personal level, and he would always have it, and he'd be like, oh yeah, I have this, very expensive,
mm-hmm.
and it would be the thing that he would have. So I'm like yeah, we're Dinks. People are like, what is that, dual income, no kids? That's why Mr. Dink and Mrs. Dink were the Dinks.
Yeah.
And people are like, what?
Yeah, because they both worked and they didn't have kids.
Yeah.
Doug would go next door and he'd play with Mr. Dink's gadgets and Mr. Dink would show them off, but that was it.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It is us.
And it was a fun show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Doug is voiced by Billy West, who's
comic
genius.
So there's Family Guy is pretty much just Seth MacFarlane in a booth having conversations with himself. Where I feel that Doug is similar for Billy West. He voices a lot of characters on that show. And so it's almost like it's an entire episode of him just talking to himself. Except, of course, Patty Mayonnaise.
Uh-huh.
Because he does not do Patty Mayonnaise's voice.
No.
Who is Doug's unrequited love of his life.
And this show went on to – it was so popular that of the Nicktoons, because these were the original three. It was Doug, Rugrats, and Ren and Stimpy in that order. They
mm-hmm.
premiered in that order in 1981. And of those, Doug was the one that – a lot of people think that Rugrats was the most popular. It's debatable which one was most popular. A lot of people say Rugrats because it, I think it ran longest.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did that All Grown Up spin-off show. And
which was
whatever.
Not as good.
Other people would say Ren and Stimpy for the artistic style, which I don't like Ren and Stimpy personally.
No.
I just can't get behind it. And then other people might say it's Doug. And I would probably argue Doug only because of the three shows, the only one that was bought out by Disney was Doug.
Yeah. I kind of stopped watching it once it left Nickelodeon. I didn't.
It got really good.
I didn't follow it onto Disney.
Oh, it got really good because it blended well. Did you ever watch Recess?
Yes.
It blended. Did you watch Pepper Ann?
Yes.
They all blended together. They're all in the same. Should have been in the same block.
They're in the same universe.
Did you just not watch Doug because you felt betrayed by the fact that it left Nickelodeon?
Maybe.
They're all on the same Saturday mornings.
I just don't think I cared for it. It didn't feel as
right. It was more polished.
Yeah.
It was cleaner.
Yeah.
Not cleaner like as in content, but just like its animation style.
It was sharper.
Yeah, its animation style was a lot nicer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love Pepper Ann and Recess.
Mm-hmm.
Those shows were great. Oh, I didn't get me started on those.
Back when cartoons were awesome.
Oh, yeah. Recess was fun and hilarious. Like, I feel like it would, like, you could put it on now in prime time, and it would actually kind of work with, like, a Bob's Burgers.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like, totally.
Or I could see Gene and Louise totally going to that school and being part of that Recess crew.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, they would blend in perfect. And then Pepper Ann was one of the few shows that actually had a series finale.
Oh, really?
That one was fantastic.
I didn't watch it with any regularity.
Oh, Pepper Ann blew my mind because it's one of the first shows that I remember when it aired and then it had its series finale. It flashed forward.
Mm.
So it flashed forward like 30 years, and she's like the CEO, and they're having their middle school reunion.
Because that's a thing.
Because that's a thing, and it's hilarious. And they even play it for the fact that that shouldn't be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, her mom ended up marrying Alex Trebek.
Nice.
And, like, Milo has kids and yeah, everything. It's really funny. Like, if you can ever catch that episode of that show, it's a great finale.
I do always think of – there's one particular episode of Pepper Ann that sticks in my mind so much, and I have no idea why. But it's where I learned the meaning of breakfast. Because I never really gave it much thought, the word breakfast. And it was her mom comes marching into her room. She's like, all right, it's time to break your fast. I'm like, oh, that's what that means. Because it's your first meal of the day. You're breaking your fast of the evening.
And you see, that's how you learn things.
That's how you learn things, by watching TV.
Yes.
TV does not rot the mind. It nourishes it.
We've got a lot more shows we get to cover. So we're going to take another break.
Sounds good.
And I'll leave you with another hint. If you can recognize the theme song, you'll know what we're going to be talking about when we come back. So I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And you are listening to We're a Little Behind.
After the fires, the odds are that your HVAC system is now loaded with ash and contamination that will fill your house every time you start your heating system in the weeks ahead. Now's the time to get that ductwork cleaned and sanitized for your family's health. For more than a quarter century, Clean Air Duct Cleaning has been giving homeowners peace of mind every time their system comes on. Right now, Chris is offering up to 12 vents cleaned for $250. Get all the details at 356-4435. That's 356-4435.
Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer, announces their new design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. Now with Powerhouse Solar's new design showroom, you can view your property and see your solar design on the spot so you can see what best works for you. Maybe it's a trellis-mounted system, pole-mounted systems, or roof mount. See all the options in Powerhouse Solar's design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. For information, go to powerhousesolar.com or call 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
The Ohio Department of Health notified Planned Parenthood that their state funding would end on April 20th. You see, this follows 3 years after a pro-life law protecting the lives of unborn babies was upheld in Ohio. This new law requires the department to ensure that state and certain federal funds are not used to perform or promote non-therapeutic abortions. Pacific Justice Institute applauds the state of Ohio for defending the right of the unborn and encourages other states to follow suit. Pray for those who have and will be affected by the tragedy of abortion.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find a register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
When I wake up in the morning and the longest I don't want it, I don't think I'll ever make it on time. By the time I grab my books, then I give myself a look.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And if you need to recognize that. If you don't, we can't be friends. That right there is the theme song to Saved by the Bell. And the reason I bring that up is because we're also going to be talking about Saved by the Bell, but in a much different way.
Yes, we are.
But before we left, we said we gave you a hint, and that was the Clarissa Explains It All theme song, which is what we're going to be talking about because Nickelodeon had the most amazing shows in the 90s.
Right. I wanted her bedroom so bad.
Yeah.
I wanted to be Clarissa. She was so cool.
Clarissa was cool. And, I mean, she had a pet lizard, alligator, crocodile. I think it was a crocodile.
Gila
pet
monster?
Crocodile.
I don't know.
No, it was a crocodile.
Oh, okay.
It was a baby one she bought.
Okay.
And then she had to get, and then, like, went away after the first season because that thing was going to grow. And his name was Elvis.
Yes.
And it was cool. And then her friend, I love Sam. He used to come through the window. And you look at it and you're like, man, those kids are cool. He comes through the window and the ladder and the parents are full fun with it. And then you become an adult and you're like, no, none of this is okay.
No, there's a book that I kind of want to read. It's called Slimed, An Oral History of Nickelodeon's Golden Age.
Oh.
And that sounds absolutely amazing. But in that book, the creator of the show explained why Sam came through the window.
I need to read this book immediately.
Right? So it was a way for him to interact with Clarissa. He climbed through Clarissa's window, removed the need for him to interact with Clarissa's parents downstairs, and was, quote, was a way to get him in her bedroom and start interacting faster. And it was also a way to show that they had this real friendship that wasn't about anything sexual. They were friends, and they wanted to keep it pre-sexual. So it was a way for him to get into the room without having to go through the showing how he would get up in there. He didn't just walk through her bedroom door like, okay, well, what,
like,
you know.
Like Friends breaks through Friends in the front door and
exactly.
In the TV show Friends, yeah.
Exactly. So this was his window. But it was never supposed to be, you know, salacious or anything
right.
like that. It was just, they were friends. They were buddies.
I always wanted them to do like a revamp movie, like, you know, reunion type movie,
mm-hmm.
and where, because she always wanted to be a writer, so I figured,
right.
So I didn't have much of a premise, I just had one scene, and it was her living in New York as a writer, and she's in her apartment, and then all of a sudden Sam comes through her window, and she almost hits him with a frying pan, and he's like, actually she does, and he's like, ow, what'd you do that for? And she's like, okay, when we're kids, it's cute, but when you're in New York, it's life or death.
So another interesting fact, there was supposed to be a spinoff named Clarissa Now, which featured her going to college. So apparently Melissa Joan Hart liked that idea so much that they then did it with Sabrina.
Oh, okay.
That part I added. Because they did that with Sabrina.
I would have had my thing.
Yeah.
They would have probably had my thing.
So 100%, one of the reasons I wanted to watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch so much was because I loved her from Clarissa Explains It All.
I loved Melissa Joan Hart.
She was great.
Like Nickelodeon shows kind of had my crushes for like the whole thing of the 90s. So between Melissa Joan Hart on Clarissa Explains It All and Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and by the way, she still looks good now.
Oh, she does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just saying. Just out there. But I really, really dug Summer Sanders from Figure It Out.
She was adorable.
Yeah.
She really was.
That Olympic swimmer. I'm like, oh, okay.
I can see that.
Yeah. So, so Clarissa Explains It All. And then, that's pretty much it. Like, her brother was annoying, which she said, actually, he's, like, a really nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, a lot of these Nickelodeon shows, it was just, like, something to put people in because a lot of them don't go on to do other things.
Yeah.
Him being one of them.
Yeah, he never did anything after this.
We also played the Saved by the Bell theme song.
Oh, we did.
Now, Saved by the Bell... It's kind of like the movie Us. On first viewing, it's fine, but you give it too much thought, and it just all falls apart.
It does.
So
bad.
So if you want a great example of this, there is an Amazon Prime show from Funny or Die called Zach Morris is Trash.
Zach Morris is Trash.
And it recaps episodes of Saved by the Bell and just how terrible of a character Zach Morris is.
He was. He was so selfish and so self-absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have any care for the consequences of his actions.
Oh, he's a weasel to the fullest extent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what these videos do is it quickly summarizes the episode and shows you, look, this guy is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he was so beloved back in the day. No, he's absolute trash.
He may be what is wrong with this, with the country and society on a whole now.
Right? Yeah.
Because if you're idolizing this guy as a kid, and you're like, man, he's so cool, and then you don't realize why he's so terrible later in life, then there may be a problem.
Yeah, it was.
You need to go and look up Zach Morris is Trash and watch those.
They're really addicting too.
They're hilarious.
They are. They are really good. But yeah, he is legitimately terrible.
Yeah.
Just terrible.
And he's So these episodes, and you think that we're already in, season 4 of this, and each one has, 10 to 12 episodes?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're almost going to probably be able to do one for every episode of the show.
Oh, yeah. Because he's terrible in every episode.
He's terrible in every episode.
I wonder if they're going to start doing, the college years, or the was it a season or the series where they worked at that.
The summer one. Well, the show was so popular that they didn't want it to go away during the summer seasons like they normally do. Mm-hmm. So they needed to have a reason for them to be on the air during the time that's not in school. So they put the idea of them working at that beach resort as a way to keep the show going in the summer months when school's not happening.
Okay. So it was a summer bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So those poor actors had no time off.
Yeah.
So, let us be clear that we do not hate Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Mark Paul Gosselaar seems like a really stand-up guy.
He's awesome.
Zach Morris, the character.
Zach Morris is
trash. Terrible. Yeah.
Although there was a throwback picture of him and Mario Lopez a couple months ago, and Mark Paul Gosselaar has aged. I mean, obviously he's aged. It's been over 30 years
mm-hmm.
since that show. But frickin' Mario Lopez looks no different.
Yeah.
No different.
He got rid of the perm.
That's it.
Yeah.
But his face is just as round and babyish as ever.
Yeah.
Like
dimples and all.
Dimples and all. No gray in the hair.
Do you know who's on
his face.
Do you know who was on Good Morning America yesterday?
Who?
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Was she really?
Yes. Again, adorable. She looks good for her age. She's aged a little bit, but not nearly as bad. I think the one that's aged the worst is obviously Screech.
Oh, yeah. Poor Justin Diamond.
And then probably Elizabeth Berkley.
Well, I mean, she kind of sealed her fate when she did Showgirls.
Yeah, that was, ugh.
She killed her reputation.
Ugh.
Because she was Jessie. She was, you know, the fun-loving, studious.
Well, so not only was the Saved by the Bell so popular with the TV show, but then they had the primetime show, which only ran for one season because it couldn't hold its prime slot, which was Saved by the Bell: The College Years, which was a really interesting way to look at the show. Like, you sit there and you go, there's no way adults are going to – there's going to be enough adults watching this to justify. Because they didn't up the writing on the show.
No, they left it alone.
They left it alone. They had a formula and they thought they're going to win with it, but they did not.
They did not.
And then they had a couple of TV movies, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was – I forgot.
Didn't they get married in
there was
one of them?
Yeah, the Saved by the Bell – honeymoon in Vegas or something like that, or
which sounds like
Vegas,
an amazing idea.
Vegas wedding. Well, so that took place after the college show, and I was really impressed that even after Showgirls, they got Elizabeth Berkley to come back for a cameo at the wedding. I was like, all right, this is all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Saved by the Bell. I have the whole series on DVD, and I when I brought it out to you, I'm like, look, it's Zach Morris's Trash, the extended edition.
Extended cut. So now we have to go back and actually watch full episodes just to be sure that it is as terrible as Zach Morris's Trash would lead us to believe, which I'm sure it is.
Oh,
because
it 100%.
They don't alter it. They just show you clips to back them up. But, I mean, we didn't see it that way when we originally watched it. So
because he probably killed himself.
So I don't think it's going to hold up as well as Hey Dude did.
All right. So we're going to take one more break.
All right.
And I'm going to leave you, I'm going to leave on with what we're going to talk about next.
All righty.
So if you recognize the theme song, you'll know what we got coming up. You're listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we will be right back.
Well, she sneaks around the world from Vienna to Carolina. She's
purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Learning is fun at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. for Little Explorers, a hands-on learning program for children ages 2 to 5. Stories, crafts, and so much more. There's a new theme every month. Looking for something fun to do on the weekend? In addition to ongoing exhibits, Turtle Bay offers family and science programs every second and third Saturday each month, included with admission and always free for members. Don't miss out. Visit turtlebay.org for more information.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Margie. I'm the owner of Margie Wenham Insurance Services. I've been a licensed, independent insurance agent for the last 28 years. My specialty is making sense of the Medicare maze. You can always reach me online at insuredbymargie.com, Margie, M-A-R-G-Y. My services are always no pressure, no obligation, and no cost. I look forward to helping you through the Medicare maze.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
And now, back to our show.
This is better than my imagination. This is more than a dream come true. Without the slightest bit of hesitation, I knew what I was meant to do.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And if you can recognize this, that's the title of it right there. If you can recognize this, you're a true child of the 80s and 90s.
That show made me fall in love with Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah, dude. That is the theme song to My Secret Identity. And we're going to get into that in a second. But I did leave the commercial break going in to the commercial break with Carmen Sandiego. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
I wanted to be on that show.
Oh, my gosh.
I wanted to be on that show so bad.
I kind of like Rockapella the best.
Oh, Rockapella is amazing. I've seen them in concert, and they are amazing, and I love them.
Okay, so we have about less than five minutes to talk about a couple of things. One of them being Carmen Sandiego. That show was amazing. It made me actually want to learn something about geography, but I'm still terrible at it.
I used to sit in my garage and play that game on the super old computer, like late in the winter, and I was bundled up in blankets and sitting in my little cubby hole in the garage playing that game. I loved that game.
That's when PBS had some really cool shows that were not just Sesame Street.
Yes.
Or Mr. Rogers.
That's amazing.
You know, but so Carmen Sandiego was amazing, and I still think it needs to have a movie made of it.
Absolutely.
Like a live action movie. I would totally watch that.
They're making an animated series.
Right. And I hear that they're supposed to be getting a movie maybe with Jennifer Lopez or Gina Torres.
I would be okay with that.
I also think, what's her name from Too Fast, Too Furious and...
Rodriguez?
Yeah, is it Gina? No, not her. The one from Hitch.
Oh, Ava Mendez.
Ava Mendez. There you go. There's your Carmen Sandiego. But my favorite show from the 90s, and I was obsessed, and I don't mean slightly, I mean like 100% obsessed with Ghost Rider.
See, that is a show I never watched.
I was obsessed with that. I was 10 years old, and you would crack codes, you solve mysteries. I'm like, these are kids solving mysteries using codes. I can do this, and it was amazing.
I wish I would have watched it. It sounds amazing, but yeah, it was never on my radar.
I don't know if it would hold up now, like the way Hey Dude does. Yeah, but I loved it, and I don't care. But we played My Secret Identity, which is a show that. I think if you did a reboot of it, would probably work today.
Oh yeah, especially with today's obsession with superheroes and
right. But it's like it's pretty much like the Karate Kid meets a superhero show.
Absolutely,
because it's a kid who lives with his mom and his sister, and his baseball falls through the window of the basement of his next-door neighbor who's a scientist.
Throw a little Back to the Future.
Yeah, it hits the... Exactly. It hits the beam. The beam hits him, and it gives him superpowers. And he has a secret identity. He has superpowers. Although I don't think he ever got a costume. Like, just has superpowers.
Yeah. He's a very real-to-life superhero. Like, he is how people would actually respond to getting superpowers.
Yes.
Much like Alex Mack.
Yes.
Nickelodeon show. She was very. She used her superpowers in a very real way.
See, I'm all about the mysteries. I'm all about the mysteries. And I used. Do you remember? This was like only one season, but I loved it. The Mystery Files of Shelby Woo.
Yes.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
So Alex Mack, Larissa Alanik was adorable in that.
Oh, she was.
Like I'm telling you, Nickelodeon owned my crushes. They're just like they knew what they were doing. They're pumping out testosterone.
Oh, we were
kids.
At the perfect age at the perfect time for Nickelodeon's height.
Yeah.
Like
just
yeah,
right there.
We were right in the
but
sweet spot.
But The Mystery Files of Shelby Woo was all about the stories, not necessarily. Yeah, just love that. And then another one that people forget about, which I personally love, but it wasn't Nickelodeon, but it was another syndicated show like My Secret Identity, was Out of This World.
I love that show.
Where she would put her fingers, Evie would put her fingers together. So her mom was a human, her dad was an alien, and she could only communicate with him through that little weird 80s cube thing. Mm-hmm. And she put her fingers together, and it would pause time, and hilarity ensued.
Yeah. Oh, that was great.
Yeah. So I really wish we could talk about it more, but we got about a minute left. but we, you know, maybe we can just expand on the, if we can find these shows on like somewhere, we can rewatch them and talk about those on another
episode.
That
would be amazing. I loved those old shows.
We need to find those. Yeah.
I'm sure they're somewhere.
Well, how about all that? I mean, that was our kid version of Saturday Night Live.
Oh yeah, it trained us to like Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
You know what else? What got me ready for the Twilight Zone, even though it was older, was Erie, Indiana.
Oh yeah. No. How about Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh, that was perfect.
Now see, my theory, so I'm gonna say this now, it's the last thing we're gonna be able to talk about. My theory is that American Horror Story is every story that they do in the series is a new story from the kids of a grown up and now very dark midnight society.
Oh, perfect.
Right?
I love
that. Amazing?
Headcanon.
Yes.
Done.
So there you go. So we got to go. This is the end of our show.
So join us next week, same time, same day.
Yep. So you've been listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez. Good night.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.